Welcome back. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 332, which since it ends with two, that means it's the Platform Sutra. So this is Zen Buddhism Part 21, the Platform Sutra Part 7. If you would like to start at the beginning of the Platform Sutra specifically, you can click right there. Okay, hope everybody's doing well. And I suppose without any further ado, let's pick up where we left off last time. So this is verse 43. At one time, a monk named Shi Chong came to Mount Cao Chi and, making obeisance before Hui Neng, asked about the meaning of the Dharma of the Four Vehicles. Shi Chong asked Hui Neng, quote, "The Buddha spoke of the three vehicles, but you speak of a supreme vehicle. I don't understand and wished that you would instruct me," end quote. The master Hui Neng said, quote, "Look at your own body and mind, and do not cling to outer forms. From the outset, there were no four vehicles, but the human mind itself has four grades." Now, there's a footnote underneath four grades. The Tun Huang text is corrupt. The four grades correspond to those who have the capacity for attainment of each of the four vehicles described below in the text. Okay. I regret stopping to check the footnote. Let's keep reading. "Therefore, the Dharma has four vehicles: seeing, hearing, reciting. This is the small vehicle. Awakening to the Dharma and understanding its principle, this is the middle vehicle. Practicing according to the Dharma, this is the great vehicle. Passing through the 10,000 things completely, being fully equipped with the 10,000 practices, not separating from all things, but only from the characteristics of things, and in all actions obtaining nothing, this is the supreme vehicle." Vehicle means practice. It is nothing that can be discussed, but is something that you yourself must do. So don't ask me. End quote. 44. There was another monk by the name of Shen Hui, who was a native of Nanyang. Sometimes I just get curious about these footnotes. Located south of Loyola in Honan, Shen Hui is also known as Nanyang Hoshang. Okay. He came to Mount Cao Chi, made obeisance, and asked, quote, "Master, when you are sitting in meditation, do you see or not?" End quote. The master got up and hit Shen Hui three times. Then he asked, quote, "Shen Hui, when I hit you, did it hurt or didn't it?" End quote. Shen Hui answered, quote, "It hurt and it also didn't hurt." End quote. The sixth patriarch said, quote, "I see and I also do not see." End quote. Now remember, before like 1990, it was completely acceptable to like hit your child. So this is way before 1990. So before you go judging them, I'll keep reading. Then Shen Hui asked, quote, "Master, why do you see and not see?" End quote. The master answered, quote, "My seeing is always to see my own errors. That's why I call it seeing. My non-seeing is not to see the evils of people in the world. That's why I see and also do not see. What about your hurting and also not hurting?" End quote. Shen Hui said, quote, "If it did not hurt, I would be the same as an insentient tree or rock. If it did hurt, I would be the same as a common person, and resentments would arise. End quote. The master said, quote, the seeing and non-seeing you asked about just now is dualistic. Hurting and not hurting are birth and destruction. You don't even see your own nature. How dare you come and toy with me? End quote. Shen Hui bowed down and did not speak. The master said, quote, your mind is deluded and you cannot see. So you go and ask a teacher to show you the way. You must awaken with your own mind and see for yourself, and you must practice with the Dharma. Because you yourself are deluded and you do not see your own mind, you come asking me whether I see or not. Even if I see for myself, I cannot take the place of your delusion. Even if you see for yourself, you cannot take the place of my delusion. Why don't you practice for yourself and then ask me whether I see or not? End quote. Shen Hui bowed deeply and became a disciple. He did not leave Mount Cao Chi and always attended on the master. 45. The master then called his disciples Fa Hai, Qi Chang, Fa Ta, Qi Chang again, Qi Tung. Oh, okay, Qi Chang with an E-N-G and Qi Chang with an A-N-G. It's not the same. Okay. Qi Tung, Qi Che, Qi Tao, Fa Chen, Fa Ju, and Chen Hui. And said, quote, you 10 disciples, come close. You are different from other people. After I die, each of you will become a teacher somewhere. I am explaining the Dharma to you so that the basic teaching will not become lost. I shall give you the teaching in 3 categories and the 36 confrontations of activity. All things rise and sink. You must separate from dualism. When you explain all things, do not stand apart from nature and form. Should someone ask you about the Dharma, what you say should all be symmetrical, and you must draw parallels for everything. Since they originate each from the other, if in the end dualisms are all completely cast aside, there will be no place for them to exist. The teaching of the 3 categories is that of the aggregates, the realms of sense, and the entrances. There are 5 aggregates, 18 realms of sense, and 12 entrances. What are the 5 aggregates? They are form, reception, conception, functioning, and ideation. What are the 18 realms of sense? They are the 6 dusts, the 6 gates, and the 6 consciousnesses. Well, that's a lot easier to remember than 18 things. It's 3 groups of 6. Internally, they are the 6 gates. What are the 6 dusts? Oh, okay, I might have to write all this down and help remember. They are sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, and idea. What are the 6 gates? They are eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. Dharma nature gives rise to the 6 consciousnesses, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking, as well as the 6 gates and all the 6 dusts. All things are included in your own natures. This is known as the storehouse consciousness. Thinking. Consciousness is turned, the 6 consciousnesses produced, and the six dusts are seen emerging from the six gates. The three sixes make 18. From the errors of your self-nature, the 18 errors arise. If your self-nature is correct, then the 18 correct things arise. If it contains evil activities, then you are a sentient being. If it contains good activities, then you are a Buddha. From what do activities stem? They stem from confrontations that face your own nature. 46. He's still talking, still in quotes. The confrontations of the natural phenomena of the external environment are five. Heaven and earth, the sun and the moon, darkness and light, yin and yang, and water and fire. There are 12 confrontations in language and the characteristic of things. Active and material, and inactive and non-material. With characteristics and without characteristics. Within the flow of birth and death and without that flow. Matter and emptiness. Shunyata is written beside emptiness. Motion and stillness, purity and uncleanliness, profane and sacred, monk and layman, old and young, large and small, long and short, and high and low. In the activities to which your self-nature gives rise, there are 19 confrontations. The incorrect and correct, ignorance and wisdom, stupidity and knowledge, confusion and samadhi, following the precepts and not following them, straight and crooked, real and unreal, steep and level, passions and enlightenment, compassion and doing harm, joy and anger, giving and begrudging, progressing and retrogressing, birth and destruction, permanence and impermanence, the Dharmakaya and the physical body, the Nirmanakaya and the Sambhogakaya, substance and function, nature and characteristics, and sentience and insentience. In language and the characteristics of things, there are 12 confrontations. In the external environment, there are 5 confrontations of natural phenomena, bracket parentheses, and in the functions give rise to by your self-nature, given rise to by your self-nature, there are 19 confrontations, end bracket parentheses. All right. Here again, the Tun Huang text is quite confused and the translation highly... Okay, whatever. Making all together 36 confrontations. If you can employ the law of the 36 confrontations, it will apply to all the sutras, and, leaving and entering, you will stand apart from dualism. Why is it that your self-nature gives rise to activities? When you speak to others about these 36 confrontations, on the outside, while within form, separate from form, on the inside, while within emptiness, separate from emptiness. If you cling to emptiness, then you will only be increasing your ignorance. If you cling to form, you will only increase your false views, slander the Dharma, and be quick to say that one should not use written words. Once you say one should not use written words, then people should not speak, because speech itself is written words. Even if you explain emptiness from the standpoint of your own nature, this, in effect, becomes language. Since the original nature is not empty, You are deluded and deceive yourself just because you have cast aside speech. Darkness is not darkness by itself. Because there is light, there is darkness. That darkness is not darkness by itself is because light changes, becoming darkness. And with darkness, light is revealed. They originate each from the other. The 36 confrontations are also like this. End quote. 47. The Master said, quote, "You 10 disciples, when later you transmit the Dharma, hand down the teaching of the one roll of the Platform Sutra. Then you will not lose the basic teaching. Those who do not receive the Platform Sutra do not have the essentials of my teaching. As of now, you have received them. Hand them down and spread them among later generations. If others are able to encounter the Platform Sutra, it will be as if they received the teaching personally from me." End quote. These 10 monks received the teaching, made copies of the Platform Sutra, handed them down, and spread them among later generations. Those who received them have without fail seen into their own natures. That's written in the Platform Sutra that they received and that had that effect. That's a silly thing. Thought I'd point it out. 48. The Master passed away on the third day of the 8th month of the 2nd year of Hsien Tien, meaning August 28th of 713 Common Era. On the 8th day of the 7th month, he called his disciples together and bade them farewell. In the 1st year of Hsien Tien, the Master had constructed a pagoda at the Kuo-en Temple in Hsinchō, and now in the 7th month of the 2nd year of Hsien Tien, he was taking his leave. The Master said, quote, "Come close. In the 8th month, I intend to leave this world. If any of you have doubts, ask about them quickly, and I shall resolve them for you. I must bring your delusions to an end and make it possible for you to gain peace. After I have gone, there will be no one to teach you." End quote. Fahai and the other monks heard him to the end and wept tears of sorrow. Only Shen Hui was not impressed, nor did he weep. The 6th patriarch said, quote, "Shen Hui, you are a young monk, yet you have attained the status of awakening." Status of awakening is in parentheses. I mean, bracket parentheses. "In which good and not good are identical, and you are not moved by judgments of praise and blame. You others have not yet understood. What have you been practicing at this temple these several years? You're crying now. But who is there who's really worried that I don't know the place to which I'm going? If I didn't know where I was going, then I wouldn't be leaving you. You're crying just because you don't know where I'm going. If you knew where I was going, you wouldn't be crying. The nature itself is without birth and destruction, and without destruction, without going and without coming. All of you, sit down. I shall give you a verse of the true false moving quiet. All of you recite it, and if you understand its meaning, you will be the same as I. If you practice with it, you will not lose the essence of the teaching." End quote. The assembly of monks bowed down and begged, quote, "Master, leave us your verse. We shall receive and retain it with reverent hearts." End quote. The verse said, "Nowhere is there anything true. Don't try to see the true in any way. If you try to see the true, your seeing will be in no way true. If you yourself would gain the true, separate from the false. There the mind is true. If the mind itself does not separate from the false, there is no true. What place is there for it to be? Sentient beings can move. Non-sentient beings are without motion. If you undertake the practices of non-motion, you will be identical with the non-motion of the non-sentient. If the true non-motion is observed, it is but non-motion postulated on motion. Non-motion is no more than no motion itself. Non-sentient beings contain no Buddha. Distinguishing well the forms of the various dharmas, remain firm within the first principle. Here's a footnote, a paraphrase, never mind. If you awaken and come to this view, then this is the functioning of true reality. Let me tell all you students of the way that you must exert your utmost efforts. Do not, in the teaching of the Mahayana, cling to the knowledge of birth and death. When in the future you encounter a person you are destined to meet, then discuss together the words of the Buddha. If he is really not such a person, then with palms joined, have him strive for the good. From the outset, this teaching has never engaged in disputes. Disputations will betray the intention of the way. If you cling to delusions and argue about the teaching, your own natures will enter into the cycle of birth and death. That's the end of the verse. 49. Once the assembled monks heard this verse, they understood the master's meaning. They did not dare to argue, and they knew that they must practice according to the Dharma. In unison, they all bowed deeply, knowing that the master would not stay in the world forever. The head monk, Fahai, came forward and said, quote, "Master, after you leave, who will inherit your robe and Dharma?" End quote. The master said, quote, "The Dharma has already been entrusted. That you may not ask. Some 20 years after I have died, evil dharmas will run rampant and becloud the essentials of my teaching. Then someone will come forward and, at the risk of his life, fix the correct and false in Buddhism." This prediction refers to Shenhui's attack on the northern school of Chan in 732 at Hua Tai in Honan. According to who? Is that a guess? Oh, well. Okay, I'll just keep reading. "This will be my true Dharma. The robe may not be handed down. In case you do not trust in me, I shall recite the verses of the preceding 5 patriarchs, composed when they transmitted the robe and the Dharma." I think they talked about that robe, Dogen talked about that robe in the recent, his lecture about the robe. "If you depend on the meaning of the verse of the first patriarch, Bodhidharma, then there is no need to hand down the robe. Hear me as I recite them to you. The verses say, verse of the first patriarch, the priest Bodhidharma, 'I originally came to China to transmit the teaching and save deluded beings. One flower opens 5 petals, and the fruit ripens of itself.' Verse of the second patriarch, the priest Hui Ko, 'Because originally there is earth, from this earth seeds bring forth flowers. If from the outset there were no earth, from where would the flowers grow?' Verse of the third patriarch, the priest Sang Tsan, Although flower seeds rely upon the earth, it is on the earth that seeds produce flowers. If flower seeds had no nature of growth, on the earth nothing would be produced. Verse of the fourth patriarch, the priest Tao Tsin. Flower seeds have the nature of growth. From the earth seeds produce flowers. If former causality is not harmonized, nothing at all will sprout. Verse of the fifth patriarch, the priest Hong Jen. Sentient beings come and lay down seeds, and non-sentient flowers grow. If there is insentiency, and there are no seeds, the mind ground as well produces nothing. Verse of the sixth patriarch, the one talking, the priest Hui Nang. The mind ground contains the seed of living things. When the rain of the Dharma falls, the flowers are brought forth. When yourself you have awakened to the living seeds of the flower, the fruit of enlightenment matures of itself. Okay. 50. The Master Hui Nang said, quote, all of you listen to the two verses I have made. Their import is taken from the verses of the priest Bodhidharma. If you deluded ones practice according to these verses, you will without fail see into your own true natures. The first verse says, if evil flowers bloom in the mind ground, five blossoms flower from the stem. Together they will create the karma of ignorance. Now the mind ground is blown by the winds of karma. The second verse says, if correct flowers bloom in the mind ground, five blossoms flower from the stem. Together practice prajna wisdom. In the future, this will be the enlightenment of the Buddha. After the sixth patriarch had finished expounding these verses, he had the group disperse. His disciples went out and, thinking things over, they knew that the master was not long for this world. 51. And now, on the third day of the eighth month after eating, the master said, quote, all of you take your positions and be seated. I am going to leave you now. End quote. Fahai asked, quote, from the very beginning up to now, how many generations have there been in the transmission of the doctrine of the sudden enlightenment teaching? End quote. The master said, quote, the first transmission was from the seven Buddhas, bracket parentheses of the past, and bracket parentheses, and Shakyamuni was the seventh Lord Buddha, who back in the day was the first, but you know, it's okay. Eighth was Kasyapa, as in Maha Kasyapa, the one who received the flower and began the lineage of Zen up to Bodhidharma. It's a particular context. Ninth, Ananda. Tenth, Madhyantika. 11th, Sanavasa. 12th, Upagupta. 13th, Drutaka. 14th, Buddha Nandi. 15th, Buddha Mitra. 16th, Parshva. 17th, Punyayasas. 18th, Asvagosa. 19th, Kapimala. 20th, Nagarjuna. 21st, Kanadeva. 22nd, Rahulata. 23rd, Sangha Nandi. 24th, Gaya Sata. 25th, Kumarata. 26th, Jayata. 27th, Vasubandhu. Vasubandhu, 28th, Manorita, 29th, Haklenayasas, 30th, Simha Bhiksu, 31st, Sanavasa, 32nd, Upagupta. Wasn't there already an Upagupta earlier? Yes, the 12th and the 32nd have the same name. Oh, it must be a common name. 33rd, Sangaraksha. 34th, Subhamitra. 35th, Bodhidharma, prince from southern India. 36th, the Chinese priest Hui Ko. 37th, Sang Tsan. 38th, Tao Hsin. 39th, Hong Zhen, and as of now, I am the 40th who have received the law. End quote. The master said, quote, from today on, transmit the teaching among yourselves, but be sure that you have the sanction, and do not let the essentials of the teaching become lost. End quote. 52. Fahai spoke again, asking, quote, master, you are going now. What dharma are you leaving behind, and how will you make it possible for those... I mean, come on, just give them a little bit of space. Sorry. What dharma are you leaving behind, and how will you make it possible for those who come later to see the Buddha? End quote. Buddha means awakening. To see, oh, never mind, I'll say become the Buddha, see the Buddha. What are you talking about? Well, that's Mahayana. That means it. Never mind. I'll just keep reading. The sixth patriarch replied, quote, listen, if only they know sentient beings, deluded people of later generations will be able to see the Buddha. If they do not know sentient beings, even though they seek the Buddha, they will not be able to see him in 10,000 kalpas. I shall now let you see the sentient being in your own mind, and let you see the Buddha nature in your own mind. And I shall leave you a verse on seeing the true Buddha and gaining emancipation. If you are deluded, you will not see the Buddha. If you are awakened, you will see him. Fahai, please listen. Hand the teaching down to successive generations, and do not allow it to be cut off. End quote. The sixth patriarch said, quote, hear me as I explain to you. If men in later generations wish to seek the Buddha, they have only to know that the Buddha mind is within sentient beings. Then they will be able to know the Buddha, because the Buddha mind is possessed by sentient beings. Apart from sentient beings, there is no Buddha mind. Here's the verse. Deluded, a Buddha is a sentient being. Awakened, a sentient being is a Buddha. Ignorant, a Buddha is a sentient being. With wisdom, a sentient being is a Buddha. If the mind is warped, a Buddha is a sentient being. If the mind is impartial, a sentient being is a Buddha. When once a warped mind is produced, Buddha is concealed within the sentient being. If for one instant of thought we become impartial, the sentient beings are themselves Buddha. In our mind itself, a Buddha exists. Our own Buddha is the true Buddha. If we do not have in ourselves the Buddha mind, then where are we to seek the Buddha? Lovely reading today, I'd say. A little bit slappy in the beginning, but... All right, well, there it is. I'll leave you with that. I don't particularly have anything to add or take away from what we read today. There's, I pointed out one or two things, but I don't mean to put it in a box. I don't I don't feel that it belongs in a box. You know, I mean, others may say, well, yes, that's that form of Buddhism. Let's keep it over there. And, you know, but aside from the specific, you know, telltale signs of, you know, the three vehicles, oh, okay, so this is post-Lotus Sutra, this is after Mahayana has already been put into full effect, making reference to the small vehicle, the Hinayana, the pre-Mahayana original Buddhism. Okay, fine. You know, it's at that point just how people spoke in that egregore. And then the tracing it all back to Mahakasyapa, of course, yeah, that's the Zen founding father, as it were. Of course, Lord Buddha is the actual founding father, but the when the lineage starts with Lord Buddha and then goes to Mahakasyapa and then forward, that's the Zen or Chan way of perceiving the lineage that leads to them. Since there were all these different schools, including Vajrayana, so then when Zen appeared, people would ask, like, what? So where did you come from, and how are you the one true, you know, Buddhism? Because when the emperor would embrace it on behalf of the land, then he'd want to have the story in place. So, oh, well, here's the lineage. Goes back to Mahakasyapa. It was all kind of operating in secret under the surface while all these other forms of Buddhism were flourishing. The true Buddhism was there in the background, but nobody knew it until just recently. Now, you know, here it is. So, you know, these things exist, but and are made reference to, but shouldn't take away from the profundity and the inspirational qualities of many of the words today, which, you know, had their effect on me. Perhaps they did on you as well. If not, that's okay. All right. Today was good. I'll go ahead and do our usual closing. Next time, it'll be episode 333, and we'll be back to the Tipitaka, the pre-sectarian early Buddhist rules of order that we're still reading before we get to the pre-sectarian early Buddhist teachings of Buddhism. That'll be quite a thing when we eventually arrive at that, but we're taking the long way around. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.